This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes five times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Neil Norman's got the day off. I'm Dave Cohen. Glad to be with you on this Friday, even if it is Friday the 13th. Just to put a bow on that last hour, I did not want to cut off or cut short Jefferson Parish Sheriff Joe LoPinto. It's just that he called in at the very end of the hour, and as you could hear, his phone was breaking up. It was very clear he had several points to make, and we're going to let him do that. We just don't have the opportunity to do it right now, but you heard him say he thinks that the driver of that vehicle and the others that he said were felony thieves, not just shoplifters, should be charged with second-degree murder in New Orleans now because of the death of those two innocent teenage girls who were killed as they fled the Jefferson Parish Sheriff's Office, crashed into another vehicle, and killed those two girls. So this conversation is not over. We just didn't have the time or a great phone connection to fully flush out that conversation then. So we will pick that up when we have the opportunity to do so. This hour, though, we had already scheduled to talk about the fact that we are now less than 2 months away from the Super Bowl returning to New Orleans. Everywhere you look around the city and in surrounding parishes and suburbs, you're seeing activity associated with the Super Bowl. There's a great level of optimism and excitement. You can see roads being repaired. You can see events being planned. You can see things moving, movers moving and shakers shaking, and people getting ready for New Orleans and this region to once again be on the world stage on the most popular broadcast of all year long, every year, that of the Super Bowl. To talk to us as plans are now accelerating, ramping up, and moving into an even higher gear is Jay Cicero. And Jay has been responsible for not only this, but for other Super Bowls and other major events coming to the city as the president and CEO of the New Orleans Super Bowl Host Committee and with the Greater New Orleans Sports Foundation. Hey, Jay.
Hi, Dave. How are you doing?
I'm excited. I'm ready. I'm looking forward.
I can hear it.
I wish, you know, we had realistic expectations that maybe the Saints would be in this game, but that's a conversation for another time and another show. So let's just be excited about the fact that New Orleans once again is going to be showing off to the world how we do what we do.
Well, I share your enthusiasm for the Saints, as we all do. Hopefully there's something that can happen mathematically here at the end of the season.
The oddsmakers say 1%.
Just got to keep winning.
Yeah.
That's all.
So there is a chance. The city's winning either way. Either way, this is a huge win for New Orleans, for Louisiana, and for the region.
Yeah, the Super Bowl brings unique opportunity that no other event really brings to our area and our entire state. Not only economically, but when you talk about community engagement, as well as what it does for the spirit of our citizens. I think you hit on it in your when you came into a minute ago. You know you can feel it around everywhere around the area. There's a spirit of excitement that only comes with the Super Bowl. And it really is amazing how this event can pull people together to work together, no matter what and where you're from, and what your beliefs are. Everyone, this is a microcosm of the Saints. Everybody's a Saints fan, and The Saints are the one thing that pulls us together no matter what every week in the fall. But the Super Bowl coming is a great opportunity for the entire state and our entire region.
Yeah, I have to laugh a little bit anytime I hear someone say, well, it's just a football game. No, it's really not. It is a football game. That is true. But the repercussions, reverberations, and everything else that grows from it, whether it makes sense logically or not, it is true that this one event really does do so many amazing things, like you said, of bringing people together, coordinating efforts, identifying solutions to problems, and really all around a championship football game. And I don't care why people come together to find solutions to problems and to fix things and to make life better. I'm glad it's happening. And if it's because of the Super Bowl, so be it. And that's a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. We feel the same way. You know, I often talk about what motivated Drew Brees to play so long at such a high level and to create this enthusiasm with other teammates and you know, and improve the whole team by his presence and his work ethic and everything else. You know, that having that type of person, in this case, having this type of event on the horizon, really just gives us the opportunity to be better and to work together and to be motivated to do things maybe we should have done years ago and months ago, but are doing now. And like you said, so be it. If this is what it takes to get us together to do it, so be it. Maybe it can be lay the groundwork for the continuation of this whole process of cooperation and understanding and setting targets and hitting them.
Absolutely.
And that's what that's really what it's all about.
And I know you do this regularly on the Newell Norman Show. Come on and give us kind of progress updates and talk about what's happening. And you have some talking points you want to get to. And I've strayed from those, and I apologize, but I knew you could handle it. But let's talk about some of those things. Sustainability has become a big issue for you and for the planners, especially with this being such a large-scale event.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I know that we have a chair for our sustainability and environmental program committee. That is Elizabeth Adams of Entergy. And, you know, she's done a fantastic job in organizing the local and regional effort towards sustainability programs related to the Super Bowl. And, you know, the Super Bowl is one of the largest sporting events in the world. It's certainly the largest one that moves around the country each year. And it's a unique opportunity to lead by example. We really want to prioritize sustainability. The NFL does. And so we want to follow suit. And that sends a powerful message to the millions of viewers and stakeholders and even the future host cities about the importance of environmental stewardship.
Yeah, I know we've seen in other cities in recent years that have hosted the Super Bowl, urban greening projects and even community projects and groups coming in and donating time and effort for new parks and for cleaning up parks and for making greater, greener opportunities in a city, solar installations, stuff like that. And I know that we're going to talk with Elizabeth Adams coming up a little later in the show here. But tell us a little bit about some of the projects that we're talking about, could you?
It's very interesting. And some of them are new to what we've ever done here. This is our fourth Super Bowl to serve the Sports Foundation to serve as the host committee staff. And of course, the Saints and the Sports Foundation kind of sit at the top of the host committee org chart, along with Marcus Brown, who is the chair of the overall host committee. But we're doing tree plantings, recycling, and then last week we had an actual oyster project. And that was we talk about famous firsts in New Orleans with Super Bowl, an oyster recycling project to help sustain our coast is certainly a famous first for the NFL.
So all the shucking and slurping and everything going on during the big game could help lead to a better coastline for Louisiana.
I contributed last week by going to Drago's and having a couple dozen oysters myself.
Amen. See, you're saving the coast.
Absolutely. And so we're going to take tons of oysters, 59 tons of oysters, and create a living reef down in Leeville, the week of the game. And so that really all kind of started last week with the ceremonial oyster bagging. We're going to have 59 tons of oysters, which is a lot.
Oyster shells,
and it creates this living reef. It's a pretty neat project that has a unique recycling effort in itself.
All right. Well, I think I'll do my part. There will be some charbroiled oysters in my near future, just so I can help in this effort to save the coast, and because it's the greatest single bite of food available out there. The NFL often highlights grants or community programs associated with the Super Bowl, and you have just made a big announcement for the host committee and its partners. Tell us about that.
Well, it's called Impact 59. That is powered by Entergy. And so each year, the NFL Foundation, in partnership with the host committee, awards grants to support local nonprofits. So we decided we wanted to reach out to the entire 10 parish area. And we focused on youth programming, education, and other areas that are important to our entire 10 parish area. This year the Legacy Grant Program, which is Impact 59 powered by Entergy, is also have contributions from the Saints, Auctioner Health, United Way, Venture Global, a NOAA Coalition from GNO Inc. They were part of it also. And the Entergy, obviously, Charitable Foundation, and host committee were able to give away $3.5 million in grants yesterday to 65 deserving nonprofits from the 10 parish area.
Now, wow, 65.
We had 1 month process of application. There were over 570 applications worth about $77 million in requests. And so we had to narrow that down. It was tough. We had to narrow that down, and obviously I hit the five pillars that we wanted to hit, but and spread across the 10 parish area, and so have the diversity that we really wanted to focus on of those five pillars, and we were able to give away $3.5 million. So that we were pretty proud of that, and had a big announcement yesterday to celebrate those nonprofits.
You know, anyone else who says it's just a football game, tell those nonprofits, all those groups that are getting all of that money now to help make us a better community, that it's just a football game, because clearly the ramifications of it are much wider and much larger. Jay Cicero, yeah. Thank you so much. President and CEO of the New Orleans Super Bowl Host Committee. We've got to take a break because we've got to get Elizabeth Adams in here, who we were just talking about. So thank you for everything you're doing to help our community that starts with bringing a football game here, but clearly means so much more. If people want to get involved volunteering or want to reap the benefits of what's happening here, how can people do that?
They can go to NOLASuperBowl.com. That's NOLASuperBowl.com. Sign up for our volunteer program, which is calling it an ambassador program this year, and that is presented by Chevron. So that's a big part of what we're doing.
Jay, thank you. Less than 2 months till the game is here. It feels like we've been talking about it forever, but then suddenly we blink, and it'll be happening in the Superdome. Jay, have a great weekend.
Okay, thank you, Dave.
Coming up, Elizabeth Adams joins us. She is the chair of the Super Bowl Sustainability Committee, and we'll continue our conversation here on WWL. Newell's got the day off, so I've got the day on. Glad to be with you here, and glad that Elizabeth Adams is joining us with the Entergy Corporation and the chair of the Super Bowl Sustainability Committee. Elizabeth, thanks for being here on the Newell Norman Show. I'm Dave Cohen. How you doing?
Nice to meet you, Dave. Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Man, this thing, you know, we always marvel at how it feels like once we get the announcement that we're going to host the Super Bowl, it feels like it's forever till the game gets here. But now suddenly we're less than 2 months away.
it definitely speeds up the closer we get here, and it's coming fast, and couldn't be more excited about it for our communities, for the big game. It's going to be an awesome event.
Yeah, and I think most people probably don't realize all of the reach that hosting a Super Bowl has and all of the ways that it impacts and helps improve a community far beyond just a few hours of people watching a football game. Clearly, it is much larger than that. Tell us what you do as chair of the Sustainability Committee.
Absolutely, Dave. So first of all, the best thing about being from Louisiana is that people come together like no one's business. So we're seeing that in the Super Bowl. And I'm chairing the Sustainability Committee for the host committee. We are focused on a couple of core areas that are around the game and also about investing in a legacy beyond the game. We're focused on food recovery, material recovery, and energy emissions. And so across those areas, we're doing some really cool work, making sure that we are addressing food insecurity and hunger in our communities, making sure that we are recycling and having full lives of different assets, and then making sure that we are powering life as we do at Entergy in a clean and sustainable way and having an emissions-free Super Bowl. So it's an exciting, exciting time.
So what role do the sustainability initiatives play during a major event like the Super Bowl, not only for the week of the game and the weekend of the game, but far beyond that?
Absolutely. So, sustainability plays such a critical role in ensuring that we're leaving a positive and lasting legacy for the host community. So these initiatives are allowing us to engage our local communities. We're having local activations. We're supporting environmental priorities that are near and dear to home. We're making it very Louisiana specific. And we're showcasing the potential for these large-scale events to be both celebratory and environmentally conscious. So it's a great platform to be able to highlight what we can do when we all come together and make sure that we're having the right focus on not only having a good time, but that good time is done in a sustainable way.
Also worried about things like planting trees and beautifying the community, which are fantastic initiatives as well. Tell us how those are moving forward.
Absolutely. So we've had some great events. Last week, we were all out planting some trees in the Lafitte Greenway. So we planted 32 trees representing the 32 teams of the NFL. We might have had some little competitions across whose team represented what, whose tree represented what team and what was best there.
Are they labeled? Are they assigned? Or are they just 32 trees?
No, people were just claiming their favorites.
Oh, I see. Okay. Why are 30 of these trees Saints trees? I don't know.
Exactly. We'll get it New Orleans style. But we did that in the Lafitte Greenway, and that addresses critical environmental needs. It improves your air quality. It beautifies the area. It reduces urban heat. And it also provides habitats for local wildlife, so making sure that our bird population has a place to perch. So that's exciting on the beautification and the tree projects that we've done there. We also last week had some volunteers come out and start what will continue during Super Bowl week with rebuilding an oyster reef down in Lafourche Parish and off the coast of Leeville. So we had teams that were, bagging oysters that were recycled from restaurants in New Orleans and Baton Rouge. And we're going to be putting 59 tons of oyster shells down to rebuild the coastline and protect the coastline down in Lafourche Parish. So yeah. Very exciting projects going on in that space.
Well, Jay Cicero and I both pledged to do our part to help contribute to the 59 tons by eating more oysters. So I hope you're on board with that initiative, too, and that however you like them, raw or charbroiled or baked or whatever, even deep fry, even fried oysters, that you're going to do your part.
Everyone has a role, so we appreciate you eating oysters and helping us get to that 59 tons.
Yes, well, and I'm also helping publicize it also. I'm doing my part. How can the Super Bowl set an example for incorporating sustainability into other large-scale events that aren't the Super Bowl?
Absolutely. So I think it starts with showing what's possible. The Super Bowl is one of the largest and most exciting sporting events in the world, and I'm so excited that it's coming back to New Orleans. No one hosts a Super Bowl like New Orleans, and I think the NFL is aware of that, and that's why they keep coming back. So it creates an opportunity for us to showcase what we can do on that scale. So by prioritizing sustainability in this event, We are able to send a powerful message to the millions of viewers who are going to be tuning in, all of our stakeholders that we're partnering in to make this happen, and just the future about what's important in the environmental stewardship space and what we can accomplish when we have lots of different partners coming together across the space to make this a huge event and a huge success.
We're talking with Entergy's Elizabeth Adams, who chairs the Super Bowl Sustainability Committee for the upcoming game, less than 2 months away here in New Orleans. And part of the goal is to leave a long-lasting positive impact wherever the Super Bowl goes. What do you hope these projects will do in terms of local communities, the environment, over the long term?
I hope it puts down roots for a legacy. You know, I'll highlight three areas that we're working in the three different spaces to give you examples. So for the beautification project, the tree planting project, that will provide decades of benefits through improved air quality and creating shaded areas, mitigating urban heat, and fostering biodiversity in our city. Similarly, you know, we talked about the Oyster Project. That directly addresses one of Louisiana's most urgent needs, environmental needs, and that's coastal erosion. So helping to protect those vulnerable communities and those ecosystems and the impacts of climate change is super important. Also importantly, not only does it protect the coastline, but it also fosters more oyster growth so that we can continue to give you whatever kind of oysters you're looking for, Dave. So that's
thank
an important
you. I
aspect
that.
As well. You know, beyond the immediate environmental impacts of that oyster project, we're also, by protecting our coastline, we're protecting our communities and our heritage in those areas as well, which is really important. And then I mentioned, too, that the Sustainability Committee is doing a lot in food recovery, and we're partnering with, you know, pillars of our community like Second Harvest Food Bank. And these are all things that will last well beyond the game. So making sure that we're amplifying the efforts, educating people about these sustainability efforts, and showing that what we can do when we all come together and invest in the volunteerism and the focus on the sustainability efforts, it's an exciting time.
Elizabeth, thank you for what you're doing. I know it's on top of all of your other duties and roles that you have, both professionally and personally. And it's great that you've been able to carve out some time to help with the Super Bowl host committee and specifically with the Sustainability Committee. And we appreciate it. And thanks for joining us here on WWL.
Thank you so much. It's an honor.
Have a great weekend. And yeah, don't designate those trees for teams, because the one that's designated the Falcons, well, we don't want anything bad to happen.
That tree might not survive in our community. So.
Yeah, we need it to be sustainable. That's the whole point. Thank you, Elizabeth. Have a great weekend.
You.
I'm
you
Dave
too.
Cohen,
Thanks.
In for Newell Norman. Bye. Coming up, we're going to talk about some of the other far-reaching impacts of hosting a Super Bowl here in New Orleans, as we'll talk with the medical community about what the Super Bowl does in that aspect. That's coming up next here on WWL. 12:41, Dave Cohen in for Newell Norman. Glad to be here. We're talking about the Super Bowl. We're going to get Sheriff Joe LoPinto, by the way, come back on here in just a few minutes to finish the conversation we were having last hour when he got cut off and his phone was kind of breaking up. So you have that to look forward to. Right now, though, I want to continue this conversation as we're now less than 2 months away from New Orleans hosting yet another Super Bowl. And every time we host, it gets bigger and better. And really, the impact gets more and more far-reaching, and that's a good thing. Joining us now is Dr. Jeffrey Kuo. He's with Ochsner Health and chair of the Super Bowl medical community. Doctor, thanks for joining us here on WWL.
It's my pleasure, Dave.
So, Doc, tell me, what does the chair of the Super Bowl medical community committee do?
You know, it's really an honor to be the chair of the medical subcommittee on behalf of the Super Bowl host committee. In this role, I interface with the NFL, and in particular with NFL Medical, along with city officials, regional officials, and even state officials and federal officials, to ensure that all of our fans that are coming into town and all of our local community are well taken care of during the weeks preceding the Super Bowl and into game day.
All right. And in your role with Ochsner as well, what role does Ochsner play and that you'll be participating in during the Super Bowl and leading up to the Super Bowl?
Well, as the leading healthcare system in Louisiana, it really is our privilege at Ochsner Health to lead the medical efforts for major global events such as this one, Super Bowl, coming into New Orleans. You know, our history and our relationship with the Saints and with the NFL really factor into our expertise and leadership. And it really helps us serve our community. You know, we've done this so many times before. In fact, I helped with medical operations for the Super Bowl that was here in 2023. We recently provided medical services for the College Football Playoff National Championship a few years ago, and even events such as Jazz Fest here locally.
What kind of medical operations should we expect to see surrounding the game? And if fans, hopefully they don't, but if they need medical attention, how can they get it?
Yeah, you know, even before the fans come in, we start to support the NFL family at the NFL headquarters hotel with medical services so that they are well taken care of and are able to prep in it for the game itself. Then for the fans, you know, there's so many different offerings that are happening around Super Bowl week. And one of those, for instance, is at the Morial Convention Center where they have the Super Bowl experience. And that's in the days preceding the game. At Super Bowl experience, we're going to be partnering with New Orleans EMS to provide medical services at our Ochsner first aid stations for those fans that may need us. Of course, we hope that they don't, but if they do, we are here to provide some services to them. And then on game day itself, we're going to be outside of the stadium in collaboration with Acadian Ambulance Service. And then during the game, we're also going to be staffing the medical first aid stations inside the Superdome for any events that may occur.
And there are also initiatives outside of game week, in addition to your having your mobile urgent care clinic on site for a week preceding the game and all these other initiatives you've talked about. What happens outside of game week?
And it's been such an honor to partner with other first respondents in law enforcement here in our area. A great example of what you're asking is that we recently donated iPads to the New Orleans Fire Department so that to help them with their documentation and such. And then New Orleans Police Department recently stood up with an emergency medical responder program because they frequently are the first folks to respond to a medical emergency. And what we've done is we've donated automated emergency defibrillators to them, so external defibrillators to them, so that in the event of a major medical emergency, they're ready to be able to help treat those patients prior to them coming to one of our hospitals. And then another thing that we've really been proud of is partnering with the health department here in New Orleans. We're hosting a Narcan training for hospitality workers at several locations throughout the next few months in order to be sure that we are prepared for any unforeseen issues that may arise.
And I imagine there's coordination on several levels. Obviously, you want to be prepared for anything. How are you working with other agencies to make sure that hopefully we don't need to, but if there needs to be a response to a major incident, that you're ready?
Yeah, this is the fun part, collaboration. We at Ochsner really love working with other entities, and we've been planning for every scenario to ensure that we have a successful and safe Super Bowl the week of the game and into game day. You know, we've been working really closely, as I mentioned, with city, state, and federal partners to be ready to respond to anything that may occur. And we really are ready if we are called upon to respond. Several other planning committees other than medical are ongoing. And so we have some representation at Ochsner Health to help support the Super Bowl host committee with folks that are representing us in security and transportation and even in the events themselves.
Dr. Kuo, it sounds like all bases are being covered, and as part of what you're doing along with all of the other emergency and first responders, we'll be ready for everything and anything and hopefully respond to really nothing. So that is always the hope and prayer, right?
That is indeed. You are correct.
Dr. Jeffrey Kuo, Ochsner Health and Chair of the Super Bowl Medical Committee, thank you so much for helping get New Orleans ready for hosting yet another Super Bowl and making us look fantastic on the world stage. Have a great weekend.
To you as well, Dave. Thank you so much, and we will definitely be ready.
Thank you. Thank you also to Jay Cicero for joining us, helping us talk about getting ready for the Super Bowl, and Elizabeth Adams. Every time we do this, we learn a little bit more about the far-reaching and the extensive planning that it takes to host a Super Bowl and why New Orleans is so damn good at it, because they consider all these things, they prepare for all these things, and they check off all of the boxes. I'm Dave Cohen, in for Newell Norman. Jefferson Parish Sheriff Joe Lapinto will join us. He'll be back with us coming up after this timeout, and we'll let him kind of finish and elaborate on some of his thoughts that we were talking about last hour when we had to stop for news and his phone was breaking up. So that's after this on WWL. Dave Cohen in for Newell Norman. Folks are texting us about this police chase that ended with the death of two teenage girls as Jefferson Parish Sheriff's deputies were pursuing thieves from Lakeside Mall into New Orleans. They had stopped the pursuit, according to Jefferson Parish Sheriff Joe LaPinto, when the fleeing felons, according to him, continued to drive at a high rate of speed, crashed into another vehicle, and killed two teenage girls, wounded another person. Folks are texting us on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line. One says, if you run from the cops, charges should be outrageous so that they won't do it again. Somebody else says there has to be a deterrent. That's the only way to make any changes. But somebody else says law enforcement should never chase a car in public for shoplifting. Sheriff Joe LaPinto is back with us now. And Sheriff, we outlined earlier about how we have a problem right now, not only locally, but across the country, with criminals who think that they can steal from stores without consequences, because we've seen that in many communities and municipalities, that either the police don't respond or prosecutors don't bring charges. And we've also seen across the country and in New Orleans specific, where chase policies have become such that there are fewer and fewer of them, and many criminals think all they have to do is accelerate and the cops will drop back and stop chasing them. So what do we do going forward so we don't have this situation?
It's certainly a balance, right? I mean, look, NOPD gets a lot of criticism for having a too restrictive chase policy, right? That they let too many people go and they're too restrictive on it. You certainly have other agencies in Orleans Parish that have less restrictive chase policies, i.e. state police, Levy District, who will chase for lesser things that the NOPD can't because of their consent decree. State police is certainly has been valued over the last year that they've been with Troop NOLA, and you've seen case after case where they've chased stolen cars and chased different individuals and made very significant arrests over that period of time. And we are the same, right? Y'all keep calling this a shoplifter. And the reality of it is if it was a misdemeanor shoplifter, that would have been against our policy. The law has been changed many times to prevent these types of groups of individuals from going into stores and grabbing as much stuff as they can and running out the store. And it falls under a second degree robbery statute. That's the call that we received from the store at the time, that we ended up having three individuals were running from the store with it. An off-duty Orleans Parish Sheriff's deputy happened to have his radio on and saw the individuals leaving that particular location and leaving the mall. And as usual in Jefferson Parish, we have a very fast response time, and we were able to come to the area. We had one unit, I think, that saw them right getting onto I-10 and another one that was actually in front of them as the unit passed our vehicle on the interstate. They turned their lights on and expecting a traffic stop. The traffic stop didn't occur. They fled from that traffic stop. Now, how quick is too quick? You know, our supervisor has to make decisions. We are certainly within our policy. They are a suspected felony to be able to chase them and to continue to chase them into the city of New Orleans. But typically we take factors into account. Do we cross parish lines? Is my helicopter available, which it is during the day, but this was at night and was not available at that period of time. And, you know, so you take those factors, how fast are they driving? Do we want to cancel the chase? And in this case, the supervisor made a decision. He didn't have to make that decision, but he made the decision to cancel the chase because the vehicle was too far out in front of us. We weren't catching up with it. They were gone. And so he ordered the deputies to what we call 1082. Our deputies did exactly what they were supposed to do. They turned off their lights, they turned off their sirens, and they proceeded another 2 miles from where that location was to the next exit to make a U-turn and come back into Jefferson Parish. The cameras on the vehicles show that the traffic was already backed up onto St. Bernard Avenue because the accident had already existed, and there was already plenty of vehicles that were in between the accident and our police cars to show that we were not in close proximity because they were already in traffic when they got off at St. Bernard Avenue. They pull up and observe the crash. They didn't turn around. They got out. They performed life-saving measures on the individuals in order to try to do that. Two people had already fled from the scene. They were able to make an apprehension on the third. Because we had lost sight of him, we had to book them as a fugitive. We couldn't even book them under a hot pursuit clause from that standpoint. So we have a balance. It does not bring the life back. Look, let me be real. I feel sorry for that family. I can't imagine the tragedy they're going through. But I can't turn around and allow blame to be put on a policeman that is going out there risking his life every day to try to put criminals in jail that are affecting our society. The blame falls squarely on their shoulders. They committed a second-degree robbery. I know NOPD booked them originally with manslaughter, but I believe that charge has the ability to be upgraded to a second-degree murder. If you look at a second-degree murder, it's a death that's caused when certain enumerated offenses occur. And in this case, a second-degree robbery fits in those enumerated offenses. And so I think their charges should be increased to a second-degree murder, and I think they should serve the rest of their life in jail. They took these two precious kids' lives, and they should certainly suffer the consequences for it. But, I mean, look, there's always a balance, and we've got to make that balance. And we're not going to pull somebody over and pursue them for a traffic stop. Right. But we have a policy in place that has to be a suspected felony. And in this case, it certainly was.
I don't want to argue this point, but your news release from your agency said females were seen shoplifting merchandise. I think that's how I understand. And I don't want to argue about
it's
that.
It's still a form of shoplifting.
Yeah,
right?
No, and
it's
I understand that.
It's still a form
that.
Of shoplifting. So, right, correct.
I don't think anyone was intentionally trying to downplay the significance of what had happened. Let me just ask you this, and we only have a minute left. What has to happen, not only in Jefferson Parish, but everywhere, so this stops, so people don't think that all they have to do is drive over 100 miles an hour and the cops will stop chasing them, and so that they don't keep crashing into and killing people?
Look, I wish I had an answer for it. The reality of it is you only have a small amount of our population that thinks this way, right? But that small amount of population needs to suffer consequences for it. If you run from the police, I kind of agree with it, in any type of offense. If we make that determination, you should be sending a significant amount of time in jail. And a lot of times they're not thinking about those consequences at the time. But the reality of it is they should. The fact of it is they should be sued for every dollar they have. They should lose everything while they're sitting their rotten life in jail for the rest of their lives. I'm happy to be a part of it because it's ridiculous. But our deputies have a hard enough job to go out there and do. They're just trying to make it safer for our community. Everybody has seen the videos of the people that are running in and committing these robberies, and that's why the legislation was changed years ago in order to try to prevent it. And our deputies are just trying to do their part.
Sheriff, thank you so much, and I'm glad we were able to get you back on and let you share your thoughts here on WWL New Orleans, WWLFM, Kenner, New Orleans.